your mind, that's part of it, right? That's the first big step, is make up your mind what you're going to do. Amen? And then your body will follow, amen? Put your head in the direction your body follows. Well, praise God. 1 Peter chapter number 1 tonight. I do want to thank everybody for being here and a blessing to be saved and to be together as a church family. And just thank God for a place, a refuge. Amen? A refuge out of this world. Out of the world and into this world. Amen? Thank God for church. What a blessing. The Bible says a lot about church. Church is so important. I believe church is really, really important. I'm so thankful for God's people. Amen? And you're going to spend all of heaven with them, so we might as well fall in love with them and have a good time with it. Amen? What a blessing. 1 Peter chapter number 1. Got me a nice looking pretty Bible page to put in my page, praise the Lord. Got Chevelle's name on it. What a blessing. God's good, I tell you. And what we don't do is count our blessings. And that's something I'm trying to learn. Look around you and count your blessings. Amen. Take a breath and count your blessings. Take a step and count your blessings. Amen. Get up and you go to the refrigerator. And when I grew up, we thought you was rich if you had milk, all the milk you wanted. And because it didn't last around our house very long. My brother, boy, he could drink a gallon of milk in one setting, I believe. I'm pretty sure he could. And so Dad kept milk, and sometimes he would keep it away till it was forbidden, you know, it's forbidden land. You never touched it, you know. And probably made marks on the jug to see if it went up and down. I see some people laughing. They know y'all been there before. Who touched my cookies? Who touched my milk? Who touched my peanut butter? At our house, it's always had to do something with peanut butter. And peanut butter this, peanut butter that. Don't touch it. But anyway, praise God. God's good, amen? Amen. But counting your blessings. Counting your blessings. And we don't do it as much as we should. Amen? And I think sometimes the Lord removes a lot of things in our life because we're not counting them. Amen? You get to count them, He'll put a little more around because you appreciate what you got, what He's done for you. And praise the Lord. All glory goes to God. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 1. And let's read the passage of Scripture here. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 1. Andrew, you stand up and read the first five verses of 1 Peter chapter 1, 1 through 5. Amen. Amen. Let's see, Brother Travis, won't you stand up and read verse number 6, 7, 8, yep, and 9. Thank you, preacher. All right. So Jonathan, stand up and read 10 through 12. 10, 11, 12.
Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who professed of grace that should come unto you. searching that of or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us did they minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels did desire to look unto.
Good. Which things the angels desire to look unto. Well, tonight we're experiencing something right now that the angels have never experienced. And that is the grace of God. That is the grace of God. Now, they have this, the title of, that I titled this message, they're experiencing this, but I titled this, The Blessing in God's Security. The Blessing in God's Security. We serve an eternal God. God is the same. We're not. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And our God, God is eternal. He is eternal. That means the Bible describes it like this, that He's from everlasting and to everlasting. Amen. From everlasting to everlasting. That's our Savior. That's our God. So the blessing that we have as His children in God's security. There's a blessing in God's security. Now, if you're outside of God's security, that's a hard place to be. There's not a blessing in that from God. It doesn't mean that God's different, and doesn't mean that God treats you different just because of that. But there's a lot of things that a child of God gets when he's in God, when he's in Christ, and Christ is in him. And we're going to talk about that tonight. So in verse number two, the Bible says there, elect according to the foreknowledge of God, the Father, through sanctification, and of the Spirit, unto obedience, the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, God, grace be unto you, and peace be multiplied. And verse number three is my text. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according, here's some things, according to His abundant mercy, hath begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So I just say, blessed be God. Amen. Blessed be God. Amen. What else are you going to bless? You know, what else can you brag about? What else can you magnify? What else can you exalt? What else can you talk about that doesn't have faults? There's nothing on this earth, but there's something out of this earth. Amen. That's our God. Our Lord Savior identifies Him as blessed be God and Father. And a Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we see that He's blessed be God and He's the Father. And He's not just the Father, but He's Lord. He's Lord. Amen. The Bible says that you got to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ with all thine heart. I mean, I don't believe in another God or another false religion or something like that. I'm believing in the Lord. I don't even believe in Baptists. Baptists can't get me to heaven. There's a bunch of Baptists that ain't going to heaven. I guarantee you that because they've trusted other things. Let me tell you, Paul's writing this scripture, or Peter said, blessed be God. What else? I believe this is God's eternality described in this passage of scripture in the whole books of 1 Peter and 2 Peter explains the eternality of God, the blessings of God, God's eternity, His existence of eternity. God is eternal. He is from everlasting to everlasting. And the first thing He talks about is His abundant mercy. And the adjective describing His mercy is an abundant. Amen. Not just a little, but a lot. Amen. As a matter of fact, it's not just a lot, but it's more than a lot. It's an abundant. And because it's an abundant, talking about His mercy being abundant, because there's no source, there's no emptiness. You cannot empty out the mercy of God. You cannot exhaust the mercy of God. Amen? There's more where that come from. Amen? When God gave you mercy, you can go back for it. There's more and more. So it's an abundant mercy. And it's three things that is mentioned in this chapter, this verse, talking about His mercy. Why is His mercy so abundant? is because he has begotten us. We are begotten of God. In John chapter 3, I'll tell you tonight, I'm probably going to say a lot of things backwards, so just forget about it. Don't let it distract you. Just go on, okay? Just pray for me and go on. And we're going to talk about the blessings of God's security, amen? I thank God I'm secure in the arms of a holy God. And I'm not very secure in anything of myself or anything that I've made up, amen, put together. And we're not even really secure in this building, amen? But, hey, if you're still in this building, if you're in the hand of God, you're secure. Amen. That means you have nothing to worry about. Amen. So we've been begotten by his mercy. In verse number 3 of John chapter 3, the Bible says, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? How can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, listen here, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. Now this is talking not about your first birth, but it's talking about your second birth. If you're saved, you've received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, then you have been born again. Your first birth just brings heartaches and backaches and headaches and all that, right? But your second birth will bring you eternal life and a new body, amen? And so you have been begotten. That means you are of God. You are born of God. You're born once of your father and mother. But if you've been born twice, you've been born of God. Amen? Born of the Spirit. Amen? That's what it talks about in John 3, born of the Spirit. Amen? I love that verse, that song I always try to quote. And you say, preacher, you quote that all the time. Well, at least you remember something I say. Amen? Born of the Spirit with life from above into God's family divine. Justified freely by Calvary's love. Oh, what a standing is mine. Say, preacher, how are you going to stand? I can't stand alone. I can't stand by myself. The only way I can stand in the abundance of God's mercy is because I have been begotten of God. Amen. I've experienced and felt the mercy of God because he saved me. He saved me and washed me in his own blood. And I thank God for that. And it's his mercy is abundant. You say, preacher, how do you know that? Well, because I've used a lot of it in my life. How many of y'all use some mercy of God? Yeah, and some grace. Amen. We're constantly going to that storehouse, amen, and getting somewhere it came from and needing more and more every day. And as long as you live, you're not going to be living without it. Amen. You're going to be experiencing it whether you like it or not. You say, well, I'm perfect. And a preacher said, he talked to somebody that said that he never failed. He believed in the sovereignty of God, and he was working his sanctification was when he got saved and all this stuff, and he was perfect. And he just told him straight to his face and said, no, you're not perfect. You're a sinner, and you need to be saved. And the guy got mad at him, started fussing and carrying on and stomping, and he said, well, he sure ain't perfect. Amen. Anyway, be angry and sin not, the Bible says, right? Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. And don't go to bed angry. It don't matter anyway. Just take a baby aspirin. Brother Ford used to say that. I'll just take a baby aspirin and go to sleep. You remember him saying that all the time? Well, thank God for his abundant mercy. We've been begotten by the mercy of God. Amen. If it wasn't for the mercy of God, we'd be on our first birth, and we'd be lost on the way to hell. Outside the mercy of God. I love the conjunctions in the Word of God. But God. Amen. But God. Nevertheless. But God. Amen. Praise God for this. So the abundant mercy is begotten. Then it says a lively hope. Amen. There's some lively things in the book of 1 Peter. A lot of lively things. There's lively hope. There's a lively stone. You say, how in the world can stones be lively? Well, if God saves them, they'll be lively. Amen. The Bible says if you don't shout, he'll call the stones out. Make them shout. If God's redeemed children of God won't praise the Lord, God said, I'll have the stones cry out, and they'll stand in judgment and condemn you because you don't cry. And don't tell me God can't make a stone praise his name, because he can. Say, preacher, how do you know that? Because he did it to me. I was just an old dead cold stone until the Holy Ghost breathed on me, got my life, amen, and picked me up, saved my rotten soul that I didn't deserve, poured in a bunch of mercy and grace in my life, and when I get to thinking about it, amen, my old stony heart has to soften and submit to a holy God. Amen. The Bible says we're lively stones. Lively stones. Look in chapter 2. Look in chapter 2, verse number 8. Chapter 2, verse number 3. All right. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. We're talking about lively stones. We're talking about lively hope. We got a hope that's not dead. We got a lively hope. My hope is not in mankind or the president. My hope is in Jesus Christ. Jesus is my hope. Amen. And I'm going with the blessed hope. Brother Travis, I'm going up with the blessed hope. Amen. And there ain't a whole lot of blessed hope in the tribulation. I don't know where they get that, but there's a blessed hope one day. We're going to be out of here. Amen. Amen. What did Brother Cody say? We come in like the Long Ranger and leave out like Superman. Amen. Won't even need a phone booth to change. Amen. You'll leave this old body in the grave. Listen to me. You leave this old body, it'll fall down right here. You ain't bringing it with you. The old carnal flesh and pride and arrogancy and hurt and pain and all that, it'll just drop and you'll rise and be seated at the right hand of the Father, because if you're saved, you already got a seat there. I believe you'll get a new body there. This old body is, and all the bodies in the grave, they're not coming up. Amen. There may be some, I don't know about all that stuff, but listen, I'm a New Testament salvation Christian. And the Bible says, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Well, thank God for the lively hope and lively stone. Verse number 4. Verse number 4. To whom coming is into a living stone. Living. Well, how can stones be living? Well, let me tell you, when God gets in it, it'll come alive. It'll come alive. Disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God. Precious. Precious. Ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house. God's called the church a rock. You're a rock. If you're a Christian, you're a rock. Amen. He's the rock, but you're a rock. You're like Peter. You're just a little pebble in the rock. Amen. But I'm in the rock of ages. Amen. Spiritual house, holy priesthood, offer up spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Don't worry about being acceptable to man. Just worry about being acceptable to God. You'll never be acceptable to man, but let me tell you, you can be acceptable to God. If God starts seeing Jesus in you, that'll make him happy. Wherefore also it is contained in Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore, which believeth, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense. That was Jesus Christ. That's what he was. The Jews stumbled over him, and the Gentiles stepped on him. Amen. Climbed up on him, got a hold of it. Even to them which stumble at his word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye, circle that ye. Go back to chapter 1 for a minute. Chapter 1, verse number 1. Andrew read this. So this will make you want to shout. Y'all with me, chapter 1, verse 1? Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, through the strangers scattered throughout these cities. If they were Jews, it would have said Jews. God never had been ashamed of his people. But all those that aren't Jews are called strangers. Verse number 9, and ye, our chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not people, but now are the people of God, which did not obtain mercy, but now have obtained mercy. I'm talking about the abundant mercy of a holy God. You are a living stone, and you have a lively hope. Amen. And then it said the third thing it's mentioned was there in 1 Peter was the resurrection. It said a lively hope and by the resurrection of the dead, of Jesus Christ from the dead. How do you know that you have a lively hope? And that heaven's your home? Well, because they couldn't hold Jesus down. The grave couldn't hold him. Death couldn't hold him. The chains, amen, couldn't bind him down. The Bible says he took the keys of death, hell, and the grave, and led captivity captive, amen, and gave gifts unto men. And then he was seen over 500 brethren at one time. And besides all that, when the stone was rolled away, old Mary, the mother of Jesus, went to that tomb, and they got so excited, they turned around and saw him in the saw Jesus there and thought that he was a gardener. Said, "Where'd you put my Lord?" And he spoke her name, woman. Yeah. Amen. Why did he speak woman? Because he's the Creator. Amen. He didn't have to call her by her earthly name. He called her by who she was. He was there when he was there with God when God created a woman. Amen. He said, "There's Adam, and out of your rib you're going to have a woman." He said, "Woman," and there was power came out of that voice. It's called resurrection power.
Amen.
Yeah, one day he's going to call us home. Call us home, and we're going to leave this world. It is to be a resurrection, amen, out of this world. You'll never experience anything like it.
Amen.
And here pretty soon we're going to be celebrating Resurrection Day, Easter Sunday, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, amen. And I'll just go ahead and tell you, everybody knows, we ain't going to celebrate bunnies and chocolate Easter eggs. You can eat them all you want, amen. You can have them, eat your belly full. But our emphasis is going to be on Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Rising again the third day. I'm glad tonight. He got up from the grave. And let me tell you, that gives me power to give up. And you can get up out of your despair. You can get up out of your discouragement. You can get up out of bitterness and anger. You can get up out of your anything. Amen. By the power of his resurrection, we have the abundant mercy. Abundant money, abundant mercy. Chapter 3, verse number 18. It says, chapter 3, verse number 18. Get over there. "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also when he went and preached unto the spirits in prison." He's talking about when he was in the grave. "Which sometimes were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the earth was preparing, wherein few, that was eight souls, were saved by water, the like figure, whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not to put in the way of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ." By the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Baptism doesn't save us. It's not talking about water. It's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ and the power of his resurrection. And we're thankful for that. And it even talks about how baptism is an answer of a good conscience towards God. Anyway, so we're thankful for this abundant mercy and a lively hope. You can write down 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 12 through 19. Does anybody here believe in the resurrection?
Amen.
Amen. Anybody experience the resurrection? Amen. Experience something living inside of you, someone living inside of you. And you've been raised from death to life. Well, you can't be saved unless you believe in the resurrection. Verse number 12, 1 Corinthians 15. "Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some of you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is in vain and our faith is in vain."
Amen.
Let's go home. If you don't think he got up, but let me tell you, we're here because we know he got up. He changed our life. Amen. He changed our life. Hallelujah to God. I'm a changed man. Amen. I'm a new man now. New man now. "Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God, and that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up." If they said, "You witnessed his resurrection. Are you going to sit there and tell me that he didn't rise again when you witnessed it? You saw him?" Look at verse 16. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ risen? And if Christ be not risen, then her faith is in vain, yet ye are in your sins." They believe they was right. They say they believe they was okay. Then verse 18. "Then they which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are all men most miserable." Our hope is in Christ and in his resurrection. Amen. Thank God for his resurrection. Then verse back over there, 1 Peter. That was verse number... verse number 3, verse number 4 talks about this inheritance incorruptible Now we're talking about God's blessings of God's eternal security. The doctrine of eternal security. You want to write that down? That's not a Baptist doctrine. It's a Bible doctrine. Amen. I'm just teaching you what the Bible says. You know, I was studying this message, had some other messages I was to preach, and I was walking down the hallway, and I said, well, I'm just going to preach a Bible message. I try to always preach a Bible message. I really try hard. Sometimes it don't work very well because I'm in a carnal flesh. But you know what? When you're preaching like I'm preaching this evening, I'm preaching what the Bible's saying. All I'm telling you is what God's Word said. I ain't telling you nothing of my own. And I'm preaching a Bible message. Amen. Verse by verse or topic by topic, just going right down to there and telling you what God said. Amen. And we're just all saying, amen, amen, amen. Thank God, hallelujah. Thank God for His mercy. I'm talking about the security of the believer. Amen. Thank God for He holds it. He holds it. The abundant mercy. The incorruptible inheritance. It's undefiled. It fadeth not away. And then it's reserved. Look in Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53. Incorruptible inheritance. Think about it. Your Father is eternal. If there's only one person in the world, if you call Him a person, He's more than that, praise God. But He is the one that's in charge of eternal things. Eternal things. And if your inheritance can be corrupted, then He's not in charge of it. Amen. Amen. But I'm here to tell you tonight, if you're secure in God's inheritance, the inheritance is yours because it is yours. And it is incorruptible because God is the one that's in charge of it. And you're reading the last will and testament of His Son, Jesus Christ, on this earth, this Bible. And God, your Father, is eternal. He'll never die. Amen. So nobody can twist His last will and testament. Amen. I got an eternal inheritance. Amen. Say, preacher, you don't have nothing. You don't have nothing. I don't need nothing on this earth. And you don't neither. Amen. What you and I really need is more of God. Amen. What you and I really need is to live better for God. What you and I really need is to build up treasures in heaven. Amen. Amen. Am I right about it?
Yeah.
Lay not up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves. I don't mean you can't have a good life down here and enjoy what God's blessed us with. But don't put them in front of God. And make sure it's more of God and less of that. More of Him and less of me. Every Christian, if we were in tuned and concentrated on laying up treasures in heaven, amen. God's blessed you. God will bless you with more physical stuff anyway, and it'll be great. Lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, amen. That's what it's all about. And you say why is that so important? Well, because if you're laying up treasures on earth, they're going to corrupt. Now, this inheritance I'm talking about is not just what God has in store for you, but what you're doing for Him builds your inheritance. Right. It's not just about what God already has secured for you, like a home in heaven, a mansion, all the things we know that's in heaven for us. A new body, right?
Yes, sir.
I'll get to this in a minute. We'll read the scripture. I'll tell you, we'll go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and we'll read to you how that you can lay up treasures in heaven. I just quoted out of Matthew. So your treasures that you can lay up in heaven, either wood, hay, or stubble, or gold, silver, and precious stones. Well, if you're laying up your own stuff, it's gonna burn up, right? But if you're doing the work of God and you're laying up treasures for God, your inheritance is incorruptible. Gold, silver, precious stones. Why? Because He's the keeper of it. Undefiled, fadeth not away, reserved. You are in Isaiah 53, aren't you? All right, verse number 4 and 5. Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our... We're talking about some inheritance here. He borne our griefs, carried our sorrows, and we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. This is His process of God sanctified us by bearing our burdens. And that's why we can be a goodly child, saved by the grace of God, amen, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, and not have a corruptible inheritance. It's because of His act of preservation. He took our sins upon Himself, bore our sins in His body on the tree. Excuse me. Thank God for an incorruptible inheritance. Amen? I say glory to God. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Look at verse number 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 10. We're talking about an incorruptible inheritance. Well, we're talking about this fadeth not away and inheritance reserved. But also, this right here is included. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Y'all there?
Amen.
Verse 10. According to the grace of God which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid, this is talking about the judgment seat of Christ, I have laid the foundation and another man buildeth upon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth upon. For other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon his foundation gold, silver, and precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Not what size it is, but what sort. What sort. Why do you do what you do? Why do you do... I just want to be seen and heard. Or why do you do what you do? Listen, you have to learn, all of us. I hope and pray that you don't do things for the pastor, or you don't do things for the pastor's wife, or you don't do things for your mama, or you don't do things for your dad, and you'll do that. We're human, we'll do that. But when you get a hold of this, that you'll do what you do because you want to honor God. And you'll do it from your heart, out of love, out of worship, out of obedience, out of giving God. You'll do it from your heart. That's when you'll find your happiness in serving God. That's when you find your happiness in serving your mother and dad, obeying your parents. That's when you'll be happy at that and not being trouble all the time with each other. But listen, like giving tithe. You can give grudgingly. The Bible says God loves a cheerful giver. Why does God love it? Because it's the right reason. This is why I believe the Bible teaches you could give your tithes grudgingly, and that verse in Luke chapter 7, given it shall be given unto you, does not apply to you. Well, I gave my tithes. God said, I don't care if you gave your tithes, or he said, I'm not going to judge you by how much tithes you gave.
Amen.
He said, I'm going to judge you by what sort. I'm going to judge it by how you gave it.
Amen.
That's what the Bible teaches. And our treasures are all our earthly treasures that we build up in heaven, that all stems on our reason and our purpose and our why.
Amen.
And our attitude. Amen. So praise God for that. Give all your money tonight. Praise God. Amen. Do it with a cheerful attitude, and God will bless you. I'm joking. Amen. Amen. I'll pray over this napkin and you give me $100. Them preachers and all the TV stuff going on, man, that's a bunch of baloney. God help them. They'll stand before God for all that. They will. They're taking advantage of the innocent. Amen? Don't forget about the innocent. Don't forget about the innocent bystanders at church. Don't forget about the innocent bystanders at home. They matter to God. Amen. God help us. An incorruptible inheritance. Well, praise God for that. Amen. He's going to judge us by what size. And it says it's an incorruptible inheritance that's undefiled and fadeth not away. You ain't got to worry about it corrupting and getting smaller and fading away. Right? God keeps it. God adds to it. And then it's reserved. And it says for you. Look back there in 1 Peter. It says reserved for you. Amen. For you. For who? For me. I got an inheritance that God is taking care of for me. Amen. I ain't got to worry about losing it. Amen. We're talking about security, right? We're talking about security of the believer. I ain't got to worry about losing it and dropping it or misplacing it. It's in the hand of God. It's in the eternal hand of an everlasting God. Aren't you glad of that? Your salvation didn't have nothing to do with you. It had everything to do with Jesus Christ. You couldn't get lost if you're saved if you wanted to. I don't care how many prayers you prayed. You could stand on your head in the corner. You could sip orange juice. You could do whatever some person tells you to do, some preacher, some priest. You can give money. You can be a faithful member of the church, all that. That ain't going to save you. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Amen. It's not in repeating. It's in repenting. Repenting, not repeating. Amen. I've been around that repeating all my life. I did it when I was younger. And probably got people that still believe they're saved today that's really lost. I hope that God shows them. God forgive us. Amen. Number three, it says that we're kept. This is what I want to get to, verse number five. Y'all okay? Yeah. Who are kept? Let me ask you, who are kept? Is there anybody kept? Who are kept by the power of God? Thank God it's His power. Yeah, but His eternal power and Godhead. And it says, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. And we're getting real close to the last time where we will be revealed to God. It will, the right and wrong will be revealed. The names in the book of life will be revealed. Yeah. Don't forget, children, don't forget, moms and dads, that if the Lord comes back right now, then those that have not been saved more than likely have heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't know what God has in store all in the Word of God, but my friend, they're hell-bound without Jesus Christ. Amen. And it's a serious thing. A serious thing. Amen. We act like we're going to live forever. We do. We act like we're just going to live forever and our children and our families are going to live. Hey, we need to really consider one another tonight and really consider our neighbors and our loved ones. Make sure that we're doing our part in telling them about this lively hope and about this eternal security. The blessing in God's eternal security. I know you're secure, but please don't forget about everybody else that's not. But we're kept by the power of God. Amen. Who are kept by the power of God? Thank God it's His power. Kept. I'm kept. This word kept is in definition of like the word preserved. It's part of that everlasting part of God. Amen. Because He's in you. God, it's the internal part of your salvation that you're kept by God's power. It's God's eternality working in your heart. It's the everlasting Spirit of God that is in you. And that's how you're kept. You're not kept by good works. You're not kept by bad works or kept by, not bad works, but kept by things you do or things you don't do. You're not kept by that. You're judged by that. Not kept by that. You're kept by the power of God. Is there a Christian tonight that's glad about it? That it is in the power of God's holy hand. That you can't pluck yourself out. You couldn't jump out. And you couldn't be lost once you've been saved because of the eternality of God. Amen. You're secure in the hand of a holy God. The blessings of God's security. Kept by the power of God. And one of the words the Bible uses in the book of Ephesians chapter 1. Let's go over there to your left. Ephesians chapter 1. Is the word sealed. Sealed. And this all has to do with that preservation. Some of y'all have canned and praise God. Need a can some more, don't we? Amen. Amen. I went over to Sister Anya's the other day to feed her cows and went in her house. And man, she's got stuff canned everywhere. She's got all kinds of stuff canned. Canned soup, juice, and meat and all the peppers and lots of okra, Papa, say okra, hallelujah, amen. And not for me. Y'all can have all of it you want. There ain't going to be okra in heaven. There ain't. I done talked to God about it. He said, no. He said, that's an earthly stock. Amen. I don't know. But I know this. Man, she's got stuff canned everywhere. And I looked at all that. I was looking for some elderberries, what I was looking for. And I looked and I said, you know, Jonathan, me and Jonathan, I said, they could eat for a while on all this. Got stuff preserved. Amen? Well, thank God for this. Sealed. All them things are sealed. I don't know much about canning, but I do know if you grab a bottle of something that's been canned and it has a date like 3 or 4 years old, you might want to see if that little lid is popped. Make sure it's sealed real good. If it's sealed, you're supposed to be all right. Praise God. Pray real good. Ask God to bless it and eat it. Amen? Amen. Stay off the grapes and watch the elderberry if it's too old, okay? Anyway, y'all know what I'm talking about. Sealed. We're sealed. Sealed. I love that. I love the being sealed in the hand of God. Verse number 11. In whom we have obtained a what? Inheritance. Yeah, that's what we're talking about. Somebody go to church. Being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh in us after the counsel of His own will. Not ours, but His. Thank God it's His. It's all about Him. That we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom, verse 13, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were, say it together, sealed. Somebody, y'all didn't say it loud enough. Y'all don't believe in eternal security. Let's act like we believe. Let's act like we believe it. All right, 1, 2, 3, sealed. Let's try it again. 1, 2, 3, sealed. Until the day of redemption. Amen. It says, sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. A promise. And God's promised you eternal life. God's promised you heaven. God's promised you a seat. God promised you a mansion. Amen. And it's sealed. It's sealed. You say, well, what happens if I do this? What happens if I do that? Nothing. You'll lose rewards. But you won't lose what God sealed and what God promised, because it is written in His will. And God is eternal. He will not die. And nobody can change His will. Which is the earnest of our inheritance. There's the inheritance of verse 14. Until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. Won't that be a day, Miss Cindy, when the purchased possession comes home? When all God's children get home. We sing it, right? Won't that be a day? You talking about jubilee, reunion, fellowship, church, whatever you want to call it. Shindig, amen? We're going to have a good time in heaven when all of God's people get home. And the only way we're going to get there is because we're kept by the power of God. Through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed. Ready to be revealed. As Paul said in 1 Timothy 1:12, he said, let's read it together. Let's read it together. I think I'll probably misquote it. 1 Timothy 1:12, 2 Timothy 1:12. 2 Timothy 1:12. Somebody get there. You there? Brandon, go ahead and stand up and read that. 2 Timothy 1:12.
For the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day.
Amen. Somebody say amen. Isn't that good? I'm persuaded that He is able to keep, that's the word, keep that which I've committed. I've gave Him my life. Committed unto Him that day. Praise God. What a day that'll be. What a day. Praise God. And so we're sealed and we're preserved and we're kept and secure in the hand of God. The Bible says in John 10, my sheep know my voice. Y'all remember that? John 10, 27? Look at that. John 10, 27. Let's go there. John 10, 27. A little Bible study tonight. This is helping us. I can feel it helping us. John 10, 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. I love that. I love that. God knows His sheep. He knows His sheep better than I do. I guarantee you that. He knows His sheep better than you do. He knows His sheep. Yeah. Woo, hallelujah. Glory. And they follow me. That's what we've been trying to do all these years, ain't we, Brother Billy? Been trying to follow the Lord. It's a blessing. And I give unto them eternal life. That's the eternality of God, the everlasting part of God. And they shall what? Somebody say that. Never. Never. When God says never, friend, it's never. Never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. And no man can pluck them out of my Father's hand. That ought to make you want to shout, praise God, cry, hoop, and thank God for His security of the believer that you're kept in the power of God. Now, if you're here tonight and you're not saved, you're not giving your life to God, this is what will happen to you when you get saved. You'll be preserved and you'll be secure. You'll have a boatload of peace that you ain't never had in your life. Amen. You'll be able to sleep tonight and not worry about waking up and going to hell. And the Holy Ghost won't be convicting you no more about being saved. Amen. Thank God for this. Praise His holy name. Back to 1 Peter. We're going to close off right here. 1 Peter. Thank God for secured in the hand of God. My sheep know my voice, and I know them. I know them. And they follow me. Thank God. Sheep follow the shepherd. We've got a few strays every once in a while. God has to round up. God's round me up a bunch of times. Well, God's in charge of eternal things. I know I said that, but I sure do want you to get that tonight. Amen. You're the blessing in God's security. God is secure. Let me tell you, God is not worried. He's secure. Amen. He's confident in what He wrote. He's confident in what He wrote. And thank God He's secure. He's confident in the blood that He shed. Amen. God's confident. And we're thankful tonight that God's in charge of eternal things. You ever love somebody once, and maybe you don't love them, or maybe you do still love them, but, you know, man's love is not eternal. Man's love is not authentic. Man's love can be jeopardized. God's love can't. God loves unconditionally. When God said, "For God so loved the world," that's what He means. And His love never changed. Never one time has God's love changed. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Right? That's who saved us. For whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. That's death. That's dying. That's corruption. But have. Only God can give you this. Only an eternal God. Only an everlasting God. But have everlasting life. You are part of everlasting things because of God's eternality. I'm talking about the blessings of God's security. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Glory to God in the highest. Amen. Look at verse 6. Wherein ye greatly rejoice. Huh? Y'all greatly rejoice. I know I'm not jumping on the pulpit and running the pews tonight, and I'm kind of quiet, but amen. Let's just let it soak in. I mean, let's just greatly rejoice. Greatly rejoice. And as Brother Travis read this part, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptation, that the trial of your... You read it fast, it doesn't hurt the bed, right? Huh? Y'all are laughing, but you know what I'm talking about. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory. That's the purpose of the appearing of Jesus Christ. When God appears and you appear with Him, the Bible says that you are His treasures. Amen. Gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble. Well, praise God, we're going to have some gold, silver, and precious stones by the grace of God. Because of Him, He kept us. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah to the Lamb. God's in charge of the eternal things. Amen. 1 Timothy 1:17 says, "Now unto the King eternal." I love that. Y'all read that? We sung that song growing up. "Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Unto the King eternal." My King is an eternal King. Hallelujah! And the salvation that is in me is eternal. Because I am kept by the power of God. Amen. And there's no other power greater than the power of God.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So the blessings of God's security. Let's have a song. Let's have a song. Let's stand to our feet tonight. Thank God for His security. If you're in here tonight and you just want to be thankful for God's security, and you can bow your head where you're at and just thank for God's security in your life. And if you want a good dose of security, just talk to God. Ask Him to build you. Ask Him to strengthen you. Ask Him to take your fear, your anxiety, and ask God to secure you. If you're here tonight and you're questioning your salvation, maybe you don't know if you are saved. Well, hopefully by the Scriptures that God will show you, reveal your need tonight. And I want you to know that you can get it settled in the hands of a holy God. And if you're here tonight and you've been convicted of your salvation, you don't know that Jesus is your Savior. Let me tell you, all these things that I talked about is not for is for anyone, red, yellow, black, or white, your precious in His sight. Amen? Rich or poor, they all have to come to the cross the same level. And this is for anyone that will call upon Him. And I thank God I was one that called upon the name of the Lord. Heavenly Father, we love You. We thank You, God, for the great evening we've had together so far. I pray, Lord, that You bless the prayers of Your people, God, and meet the needs that's in this room tonight. God, and I stand here, Lord, tonight, because of the mercy of God, because of the abundant mercy of God. Lord, and we're able to be together here tonight because of Your grace and mercy in our life. God, and I praise You, and I thank You for it. And I pray, God, that You'll touch every heart. God, that You'd minister to every need, meet every need. God, minister to us. God, I pray, Lord, You'd fill every void. Give peace, dear Lord, where there's no peace.